passion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me, don't you dare. Who knew I was capable of loving? Who was there staring back? I said staring back.
Everyone, and welcome to the Transitional Wisdom Podcast, where Nash and I discuss all things trans and queer related from a variety of different perspectives. Our goal here is to share stories and experiences in the hopes of connecting with others and also furthering education surrounding trans related issues. I think it's important for us to know that we're all so beautifully different, but hey, we're not alone.
What's up?
What's up?
Hello, hello. So, welcome back, everyone. We are back.
It's been a long time.
So this isn't going to be a recap episode of, you know, what the past year was like or anything. I think we're just going to pick up with where our lives are now. And as we converse, things from 2020 and before will just pop up like they normally do.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to go about this. And to like, I think, I don't know how you feel, but I think for me, it feels like there's not even much to recap from like the last year and a half. It feels like we all just went through a weird process and like we can connect over it. But I feel like, you know, at the same time, as much did happen as did not happen in like in a personal way. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I feel like because everyone went through it.
Totally.
So, you know, everyone's got their own story. We can bond over the trauma. Or we can just talk about where the future's going.
Yeah, which is also traumatic too in ways.
Yeah. Yes, it is, especially recently.
Yeah, which let's get into that one sec. I did want to say though, you know, I don't know if you agree with this, but like you had said, like we all have kind of gone through this similar thing. And it's interesting to think that we have all gone through this similar thing, that being, you know, the COVID pandemic, but at the same time, all of our experiences through it are probably, I mean, not probably, I'm sure they are so vastly different. So like, even though we've all gone through this very similar, yeah, trauma or similar experience, it's like, we also can't necessarily fully relate to each other with it because it's just like, we all experience it in our own way, which is life in general, but you know.
No, but I think it really highlighted just how nuanced everything in life is, you know what I mean?
Like, truly,
even though the vast majority of people were working home, that didn't look the same for everybody. People who are working essential jobs, that didn't look the same for everyone. So yeah, I mean, it's just, and that's just the work aspect.
Yeah.
You know, whether you lived with roommates or you lived at home or you lived by yourself, that in itself was a completely different experience.
Totally.
Cool.
So the trauma. Let's talk about more trauma, trans trauma.
More trauma, trans trauma, not 2020 trauma.
Yeah, which I don't know if I prefer or not, but probably not. But yeah, so I know we've been talking about, like, I finally scheduled my stage 2 of phalloplasty for September. And before the pandemic started, my goal was to sort of, you know, I had stage 1 in April of 2017 and a lot of surgeries after until the end of July of 2018. So a lot of surgeries in a somewhat small amount of time, but, you know, also a long time. But after that finally was done, I just needed a break and was really not in the mood. Such a funny way to say it. Really wasn't in the mood to have more surgery. But really, like, I just wanted to feel like I was having a life again and like living my life again and everything. So I kind of put on hold trying to finish stage 2 between wanting to just, yeah, live life a little bit and also get back to a place of not feeling so close to what medical stuff feels like. So
absolutely. And I think you should take a second to like know that that is so valid.
Yeah.
Like the experience that you had in that year, a year and a half, like a lot of people, thank God, will never go through that.
Yeah.
You know, that was nonstop medical stuff. That was you not being able to live your life, be able to go on walks when you wanted to, you know? So like, absolutely. Once you were cleared from that, I wouldn't want to go to see another doctor for a very long time, totally. If ever again, you totally. Know, like, absolutely, dude. So completely understandable. I would want to walk away and take some time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's how it felt, was just like, I want to be away from this for a little while. So,
yeah,
you know, before the pandemic, I think at least in my head, my goal was to try and have surgery, like, you know, maybe like mid of 2020 or something like that. And, you know, as that started to approach a bit, it was, once the pandemic started, you know, I kind of put all that on hold of just being like, yeah, I'm obviously not doing this now or anytime soon, because the last thing I wanted was, I know how poorly run doctors and hospitals can be in just normal everyday circumstances. And so the idea of putting myself through something, while phalloplasty in no way, I do not consider it an elective surgery in terms of what I believe most people call an elective surgery. But at the same time, it's elective in terms of choosing when that time is for surgery. So me having the option of when I wanted to do stage two did not feel like a good idea to do it during a pandemic. So really put that on hold, and I just like shoved it out of my head until, you know, I kind of told myself, like, once things seem like they're calming down, I'll start to explore this again. So things started to calm down a little bit, it seemed, earlier this year, you know, when the vaccine started coming out. And I thought, since the vaccine is coming out, like, let me start to explore this. I had my consultation with Dr. Chen again, and, you know, wanted to go through complication rates and success and stuff like that. You know, it's been 4 years basically since I had stage one, so, and 5 years since I had my consultation for stage one. So I was curious what all changed for him. You know, was he seeing more success? Was he having more problems? Was he facing new challenges within surgery? And biggest thing for me too with this was that, you know, when I had my consult 5 years ago, one of the things I discussed with him was, you know, 100% I definitely wanted to get an implant at some point, but I didn't know which one or what, you know, when this would happen for me, because I had a lot of concerns about it. And at that time, he had told me there was a device that had been created overseas. I believe it's from Switzerland, but I'm not 100% on that. And it was designed specifically for FTM people, or, you know, people who were having phalloplasty, not born with that body part or that lower construction in any way, even the pelvic area. So what he had told me at that time was that in Switzerland and the other countries that they're using this device in, that they're having a much higher success rate and that they're having much less complications with putting in the implants. So at the time, Dr. Chen's advice was, you know, if I wasn't in a rush to get an implant, he suggested kind of monitoring and seeing how progress was overseas of getting that device approved by the, you know, medical stuff here in the US and then being able to use it here. So that's kind of the mindset that I've had all these years, was, you know, I'm not going to get an implant until that device is here for us. And then that was one of the first things I asked him in the consult recently, back, I believe my consult was in March of this year, of 2021. And so he said that he learned, like, the one thing that the pandemic granted him was the time and the energy to put towards, like, first of all, going back through all of his numbers and his all of his documentation and all the surgeries he's done, and really looking at them and coming up with actual, like, fully realistic complication rates and stuff like that. And so, one, in doing that, he found that he had a much lower complication rate than he actually thought he had years ago, but then also his complication rate now is even significantly lower than what he was having years ago, meaning he's constantly improving and the surgeries are constantly getting better and he's perfecting what his technique is. So that was obviously comforting. And then the second thing was that he also was able to spend this time learning more about the device overseas and getting some more information and paperwork, etc. And what he found out was that that device is actually not really going to work for us trans guys in the US unless they are going into phalloplasty knowing and basically knowing that they're going to be using that specific implant. Because what's happening is that he found is that overseas, the way that they do the phalloplasty is stage one, which I've already had, is they basically like sort of hollow out the inside of the phallus versus leaving all of the, you know, what they use the arm or the leg from, leaving that stuff inside. So it's meaty, it has girth, it's got, you know, there's stuff to it. There's substantial, however
more
I can
muscle
say.
Muscle tissue or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how to, what words to use, but yeah, it's not just, it's so like the worst way to look at it is like, it's not a, like it's a floppy sock is essentially, what would you say?
You said more meaty.
Because that's the only way I can think of it is like an empty sock versus being like a meaty sock, I guess. It's such a weird thing to talk about, but yeah, whatever. So that's obviously the only problem with doing it that way is that if you don't do it that way to begin with, the implant's not going to work. So Dr. Chen was basically saying, in order for somebody like me who has already had stage one with him to get that specific implant inside my phallus would involve him cutting away internally at muscle and skin, whatever, all the stuff that basically has been in there since the start. He'd have to hollow out a bunch. And not only does that sound just like horrible to me, but it also sounds painful. And you know, it's also, it brings it to a whole new set of complications that I wouldn't have to face with just putting the implant in. Nerve loss, sensation loss, like all kinds of things. So I was like, yeah, whoa, no way am I doing that then, because I'm not going to go backwards, right? So from there, you know, it kind of narrowed down what I was or was not comfortable with. And so I basically was left with the option of the pump or the rod. I have now chosen to do the pump for a myriad of reasons, which we can get into some other time, but chose to do the pump. We got everything scheduled, all situated. I'm also having a Mons lift at the same time, and that is to essentially lift my phallus upward a bit, because the way that it hangs right now is low enough where I'm often having my junk stuck in between my very thick thighs. So it's annoying, but it's also very uncomfortable because I tend to have a lot of soreness at the end of each day. So, you know, it's just all these little like quality of life things that I'm finally going to get to address now. So that's exciting. It should hopefully help a lot, which I'm just amped for. And so that's number one. Number two is the actual implant, and then number three is the testicular implants. So I'm having like three things done in this one surgery. So super excited. Now, because I am somebody who's an anxious person, and because I'm also somebody who knows that the insurance companies and the medical fields, etc., will kind of try to find any problem they can, I went out of my way earlier this year when I signed up for a new health insurance plan. I went out of my way to double check if I was going to need anything. So any updated like letters for surgery, et cetera, because the first time around I was required to have a letter from my HRT doctor, a letter from a therapist I had been seeing for over a year, and a letter from a psychiatrist or a psychotherapist that did basically a psychiatric evaluation on me. That was 4 years ago. And so I had to basically see, am I going to need any of this? And they told me no. So my surgery is September. Today is July 22nd. last week. Last week on July, what is it, 17th? you know, months after anything could have been or should have been conveyed to me. I get an email from Dr. Chen saying that, you know, insurance denied my surgery because they decided, I guess now, suddenly 6 months after I asked them, that they want updated mental health letters.
Oh, that thing that you did ask if you needed? Yeah, actually, you do need that.
That specific thing. The specific thing that I cleared
and we said no. Yeah, we do need that 4 or 5 weeks before your surgery.
I hate when I use my brain. Insanity. I hate when I use my brain and then I'm told I'm wrong and then I'm only found to be right months later. I want to be right at the same time that I'm wrong. Like, am I asking for too much?
No, you're not.
So it's been a frustrating last week, actually. This has been the last week. It's been real frustrating because essentially what I was told is I have 2 weeks to get updated mental health letters to Dr. Chen's office for them to then submit those letters plus their appeal letter to my insurance in order for them to have enough time to see if they'll approve me for surgery. So there's a lot of issues with this, obviously. First being the fact that, you know, I'm essentially, well, not essentially, I am being forced to prove that I'm stable. Mm-hmm. Number one. I'm also being forced to prove that not only am I stable, but that I have a strong and qualified support system and team around me for post-op. So I find that really funny because, you know,
wow,
people get breast implants all the time. They don't need to prove they're stable. Mm-hmm. You get your knee replaced because you broke your knee or whatever it was. My grandma actually had that done a couple years ago. She didn't have to prove she was stable. She didn't have to prove that she had any
sort
of...
Or what about a support system?
No, support system.
I did not know about that.
She's 80. She's 84, I think, and lives on her own. But, you know, 84 is still an older age. Wasn't required to show that she had any support system. Didn't even have to tell them that she was getting a ride home after surgery. Nothing. I have to provide all this documentation. I have to provide proof that someone is going to be with me there the whole time. I have to basically attest to having a strong relationship with my partner that I've been with for over 8 years.
This is mind-blowing. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, they didn't...
I feel like... Not to interrupt, but
no,
I feel
interrupt.
Like if that's a requirement by the insurance company, then they should pay a per diem to your support system. If they require you to have a support system, they should be paying your partner or whoever's there taking care of you.
That's a dope concept. Know. I'm here for petitioning for that. I'm here for that. The one thing I found funny was when I called, I called the psychotherapist that did my evaluation 4 years ago, which when she did my evaluation 4 years ago, we met once for 4 hours and she spoke to me, asked me a million questions. I answered them all. She felt incredibly confident that I was stable and that there was no concern for me going through this. Wrote my letter. I called her right after I got this email. Haven't spoken to her in 4 years. And her voicemail tells me that she has a very full practice. She's not taking new clients. Call so-and-so or so-and-so if you need help. I left her a message telling her exactly what was going on, apologizing for asking her if there was any way she could prioritize this, and like acknowledging how busy she is and that anything she's able to do or even if she can connect me to somebody else that can help, like, it's very appreciated. She called me back yesterday and with zero hesitation said, I am happy to do this for you. When can you meet? Like, she was ready to do it with me today, which unfortunately just because my cat happened to go to the vet, I couldn't, but I would have. But the point is she was ready to do it 24 hours later. And like, that was just fantastic. So I'm meeting with her.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. So I'm meeting with her Monday. She's ready to, she's going to update my letter for me. I met with somebody else this morning to a therapist. It's actually a trans non-binary therapist that their entire practice is now dedicated to doing this exact thing, to evaluating people and writing their letters because they have been running into just so many clients who are getting rejected left and right. So they've kind of dedicated their whole practice now to doing this, which their name is Van Levy. When we post this episode, we're going to share that info because I want to make sure people have access to this person. I was also given the Gallup Pledge. I don't know how you pronounce that. G-A-L-A-P Pledge something. It's a website that was put together. I don't know who put it together. I was given to it by somebody in New York State in Brooklyn. But it's a list of therapists or people in the psych field in every state in the country that are capable and willing to write letters. I reached out to 3 or 4 of them in the state of California last week and have not heard back mm-hmm. from a single one. These are all supposed wow. to be people who are vetted and approved by some sort of trans organization before they're put on this list. The fact that I haven't even heard back from them is very interesting, because they are supposed to be people who work under these very strict timelines that are imposed on them from insurance companies and such. So the fact that I haven't heard anything back, that's why that's why I want to very much highlight like my experience with Van Levy and just how amazing they were, and turnaround time to get my letter was I think three minutes and maybe like 22 seconds after our phone call ended.
Stop it.
I might be off by at least 5 to 10 seconds, so please don't hold me too accountable, but it was around that much. So, you know, and in no way do I expect anybody to have a letter that quickly, but just to highlight how serious Van takes these things. So mm-hmm. Van is in California if anybody needs them. Van also has a list that they have been compiling for the last several years, doing the same thing of showing therapists and psychotherapists, etc., in all the states of the US that will do the same thing. And something I really like about Van is that they said to me, if any of the people on my list are people you tried to reach out to that somehow overlap on the other list or whatever, I want to know right away, because I do not allow this to happen. Like, they are very strict of, like, they expect people to respond within 24 to 48 hours, I believe, to at least for an initial response to say, like, mm-hmm. I can help you, I can't help you, et cetera, like, whatever. So I really love how much Van is on top of all that. So I wanted to just point that out, because if anybody needs anything, they already said, like, please reach out to them. So please reach out to them. But anyway, so my process right now is I reached out to my insurance company. They have not been able to give me any because they haven't been specific as to what they want. They've just told me they want, quote, updated mental health letters, which is like not helpful considering the first round were three vastly different letters attesting to, while they were all attesting to my stability and sanity, They were all still vastly different in terms of how in depth they went, how, you know, whatever. So I'm not really able to get a better answer on what they're looking for. So because of that, I'm kind of doing as much as possible to overcompensate rather than like not give enough and be asked for more or whatever. Because the other problem is the longer that the insurance company delays this, even if they do end up approving it, the longer they delay it, the more in jeopardy I am of having my surgery date canceled, because understandably, Dr. Chen can only hold my date for so long because somebody else needs it. Somebody, you know, there's other people waiting. Like I, you know, and that's not fair for me to have to cancel it like the day before or the week before because of insurance, whatever. So I'm on this like little bit of this time, not little bit, I'm on this very big time crunch, and, you know, I have Dr. Chen's team fighting as much as they can for me. I have these mental health practitioners that are now, you know, fighting on this other side, and then I have the insurance in the middle trying to say no at some point. So it's a lot of back and forth, but the bottom line, what I've been just seeing is how unbelievably unfair it is that they can just kind of decide whatever they want to decide at whatever point they want to decide it, and then make it our problem to navigate. And so, you know, like, to your point before of saying that they should pay my caretaker per diem and all that, you know what they should also be doing? They should reimburse me for the money I had to spend this morning to get that letter. They should reimburse me for the money I have to spend Monday to get that psychiatric update, which actually I'm very grateful because understandably the person on Monday, it's a much higher fee that I am going to have to pay, because we're talking about somebody, a psychiatrist. We're talking about a psychiatrist, mm-hmm. you know, doing this whole thing and spending this time talking to me again. So, you know, their fees tend to be a bit higher. And so what she's actually doing, which is so unbelievably nice of her, and I did not in any way expect this, is she's not even asking me for payment at the time. She asked me to just give her my credit card so that she can hold it. And what she's going to do is she's going to bill my insurance for the session. And she said that only if they deny that will she ask me to pay. And at that point, we'll discuss what that fee will, you know, she'll work with me on the fee if I need her to, kind of thing. Which I think is incredible, because this is not her problem.
It is.
This is not her problem. And she doesn't have to forfeit her payment or even put it aside to help me, but she's choosing to, you know, so... And I was offered the same thing this, by the way, I want to just point out, I was offered the same thing by Van this morning to not pay, to pay nothing, to pay a sliding scale, et cetera. I did it. I very much like when, if and when I'm able to afford something, I will always honor that. So I paid Van because they can't run the insurance. So that is what feels fair. I just wanted to say that so that nobody's like, oh, you know, why didn't Van do this? Whatever. Like, Van very much offered, and Van very much works on a sliding scale for and free for all this stuff. So it was my choice to pay because, again, because I'm capable of doing it right now. So I want to honor that. That's important. So I'm very grateful that, like, yeah, these people are really working to help me, and they're, you know, they're willing to just kind of like go in different directions also to do so. So, you know, I'm hoping that by in a week or so, there will be more of an answer as to what's going on, or there will be an approval at that point or something. But right now this is where it's at, and it's a really stressful process because I have been not only mentally and emotionally prepping for this since, you know, earlier this year, March, February, March.
Physically as well.
Physically, but also, you know, financially. Like, you know, I had to pay for an Airbnb. I had to book it ahead of time and pay for an Airbnb. I'm gonna have to pay a pretty substantial copay for surgery because I have not met my deductible for this year. So my copay is gonna be pretty substantial. I'm gonna have to pay, you know, for medical supplies again. You know, there's a lot that goes into this, and I'm not complaining because I would not go through with having this surgery right now if I wasn't capable of doing what I needed to for myself when it came to the financial aspect. But at the same time, it doesn't make it any less stressful, and it doesn't make it any less of, you know, a feeling of overwhelm, you know? So part of the problem too is like, they don't tell you what you're gonna have to owe for surgery. So like my copay, you know, could be $250.
No, they don't.
Could be 10K, could be, I don't even fucking know how high it could go, to be honest with you. I think my cap is 12K, but like, I don't even know, honestly. Like, this is also the part that's hard about being an adult is like, my mom didn't really teach me about my parents didn't really teach me about the insurance aspect. They just took care of all of it, which was nice as a kid, but as an adult, I'm now trying to figure out what means what and what I need to do, et cetera, because I wasn't really guided on that. So there's a lot of these different like threads that I'm having to follow and figure out, which makes all this stuff just obviously ever more stressful. So, you know, it's a process. I'm trying really, really hard to stay positive. I'm also very much trying to keep the outlook of like trusting that if this surgery and timing is right, like this is gonna work out, and if it's not, it's gonna get denied and I'll go from there. Like, I'm trying not to push it and be like, I have to have this surgery, there's no other option. You know, I'm trying not to have that type of mindset, because we're in a place like in the world in general where like we have just, there's so many things that are just so out of our control, and for me personally, this is one of them right now, is like, this is out of my control as far as like the insurance.
I think like, because you did everything to prepare for it, you know what totally. I mean? Like that, and that's why it's 100%. This isn't your fault. It's out of your control. Like, you asked the questions beforehand, you know, like you can't blame yourself at any step along this way.
Yep. And I think too, the part that, hold on, let me think of how to say this. Something that I struggle with personally, like something that I literally talk about in therapy weekly, is that I'm a perfectionist, and I have a tendency to want to do everything perfect, but also want to do it, like, if 100% is perfect, I want to do it like 105 or 110%, because then not because I'm like, wow, I'm so great and I want to show off how great I am. It's literally because if I do 105 or 110%, my hope is that I'm not going to get in trouble. Like, I'm going to do it all right. And I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, it's like the extra percent is to cover myself. It's to make myself feel comforted in the situation. So this to me is a perfect example of that struggle for me. Of I did everything right. I did everything more than right. You know, I didn't need to call the insurance and ask them if they needed these things 6 months ago, but I did that because I wanted to try to cover my bases. I asked them to run my insurance for Dr. Chen for the surgery 4 months in advance instead of three, where they normally do it, so that I had an extra month if anything went wrong. You know, so I did everything 110% right, and then there's still something, quote, wrong something that I, quote, didn't do right. And so it just feeds into that pattern for me. So that's why I'm saying I'm trying really hard to not look at this as like I didn't do something right, or I could have done something more or better, and just look at this as like, no, this is purely gatekeeping. This is purely like,
yep,
insurance being really shitty to trans people and whatever. And I'm going to just take it for what it is. I'm going to fight as much as I can, but I also need to accept that if all signs point to no, I need to accept that that's like a message for me saying like, maybe this just isn't the right time or whatever. So trying to keep my outlook good, trying to stay positive and just get through this, like, you know, one day at a time and one week at a time, and just hope that it's all gonna play out exactly how it needs to.
Absolutely. And I think it's huge that, you know, your prior, not therapist, but what's the other word? Psychologist that you
yes.
had, or whoever wrote the first letter, that she was so willing, you know, that in itself has got to be a huge relief.
Yep. If anybody in the Seattle or the state of Washington needs a psychotherapist or whatever referral for something like this, or just even in general, because she's also amazing at her job of actually being a psychotherapist, but
like, she's not trans specific,
right? She has worked with trans, she works with a lot of trans people, she works with a lot of trans people who are having surgery, etc. So she is not trans herself, but she's really great at being kind of like on the other end of things, meaning like a cis woman, but also being incredibly in touch with our community, being incredibly compassionate and caring for our community, which shouldn't even be something that we need to give somebody praise for. That should be the norm. But because this is the world we live in, like, I want to praise her for that and stuff. So, you know, yeah, if anybody in the Washington or Seattle area needs a referral, I'm not going to say her name on here because I did not get her permission to do that like I did with Van, but I did get her permission to refer somebody, like, if they need it. So if anybody needs, reach out on our pages or whatever, and see, and I can get that information to you. But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. Like I said, I think it'd be great to do another update on this as things progress, but I wanted to kind of like capture some of this stuff and the emotions like now, because it's really stressful and I feel very on edge and uncomfortable. You know, I've been just in general been much more sensitive and emotional like the last like several days, because I feel like the carpet got ripped out from under me and I'm kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, what's going to happen next? And the idea that accepting the idea that this could be such a simple fix of just getting updated mental health letters is also very hard, because then I'm like, it feels like that's too easy. And so it feels unsafe.
Yeah. It feels like, for what? Like, this is like, all of this is for what? You know, just to be a hassle, just to make it more complicated. Because for those that don't know, like, this would be your quote unquote final surgery.
Exactly. It should be my it should and will be my last surgery.
It will be. That's
I'm saying it in my superhero voice, because I'm going to heal perfectly this time.
I love it. That's what we're manifesting.
That is exactly what we're manifesting. So, yeah. So that's my little update. And I think next time we need to do an update on you and your job search. Well, not search anymore, but your job situation during the pandemic, because I think people need to understand what that looks like. Is like not even just a person navigating job in the pandemic, but like a trans non-binary person navigating it, and just some of the stuff that you were facing at times. So. That maybe that'll be next.
We got so many ideas. You don't even know what's coming.
I know. So yeah, let's, I want to stop there with this one so that I have, yeah, I want to like next time, hopefully we can update with a more, with a positive update on this.
It's going to be a positive.
It's going to be a positive, but yeah.
It's going to be a positive.
But yeah, so thank you for, you know, supporting me through this craziness.
For joining.
Also, for those who don't know, C will be the VIP pet sitter for me while I do have surgery. So it'll be like a C's at my house and I'm at a different house, and then we're going to be taking care of separate things.
I get to take care of precious cargo, and so do you.
I'm taking care of my personal precious cargo, and you're taking care of my other precious cargo. So good. But yeah, so that'll be fun. And maybe we can, you know, something fun too would be like, we should definitely try and record like an episode while you're here and I'm there after surgery, of just really capturing like everything that's happening. Because I think it's important.
That would be cool.
I think that's one regret I have too from my first stage, was like, we didn't have the podcast, so there wasn't an avenue to do this. But I do wish that, like, in my perfect world, we would have been able to record like every, you know, a couple days a week of like what was really going on, like what was happening.
Because you lose so much. Like, I even just found some of my notes after my hysterectomy that I wrote down in like journals and stuff.
Totally.
Yeah, we should have done an episode 2 days after, you know,
right,
whatever,
right.
I was feeling, you know, 3 or 4 days after, because like all of that's so fresh in your mind. And
totally.
Then, like, I'll go back and read it and I'll be like, yeah, I can remember it, but not all of those little details, you know?
Totally. Like, even talking about this situation right now on this podcast, like, I was thinking, man, even if we were able to capture this like right after that email, it would have been such a different episode, because my emotions were so like high and I was so overly stressed, and like, I'm obviously now in a much calmer place because this is, you know,
you're on vacation at that time,
yeah,
as compared to being home now,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah, that was wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's, yeah, it'll be good to be able to sort of like capture the raw, real emotions, because we didn't get to do that before, and this is, you know, I'm in a place where I can do that, and it feels good to be able to try to capture and have something to look back on and share. But yeah, well, cool. Thanks everybody for listening, and I look forward to a more positive update in the future with this.
Yes, definitely positive.
Boom.
Boom.
All right.
Done, baby.
Drop it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of the Transitional Wisdom Podcast. If you'd like to share your own story or have a topic you want us to discuss, or simply just want to show your support, you can head over to transitionalwisdom.org. That's transitionalwisdom.org. We do have some pretty sweet merchandise up for grabs right now. We have our logo mug and also some sticker packs. We are a completely independent production, so every dollar, review, like, subscription, etc., it truly does go a long way to helping us keep going. Today's little bit of wisdom is this. No one likes an invasive succulent. Don't be an invasive succulent. Transitional Wisdom is created and produced by Nash Azarian, co-hosted by me, C, original theme song by Janelle Mack. You can find more of Janelle's music and info on her upcoming performances on Instagram at She's an Aquarius. One last thing, listeners, thank you.
Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are.